from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. This is your episode for Friday. This is another Red Friday. Hopefully it's going to be a winning Red Friday. We haven't had one of those in a while.
Red Eye Friday, anyway.
Something like that. I really, you know, you look at what this team, what this game means, and it's really hard to know what team you're going to be going into it.
Yeah, you know, like we talked earlier in the week, it's you know, what determines who shows up? Is there anything, any thread they can grab onto to figure that out? And we got to dig down into that. But we want to remind you guys, jump on Draft, either on your phone or on draft.com, and join the Locked On Chiefs draft situation. It's a real easy snake kind of thing. A couple of bucks, they'll match your deposit, so you can play basically with their money. And it's fun. We're doing it. Chris and I have both joined. Some other fans are joining, and we're just kind of running down. It's a four-man league. It'll rebuild every time, and it's a great way to spend maybe a little bit of other attention on not just the Chiefs outcome that might be better for everybody.
Yeah, and the draft situation is very quick. I think I was done with the draft in 5 minutes. It's a snake draft, 30 seconds each pick. And it's just a matter of you get one quarterback, two running backs, and two wide receivers, I believe. So it's really quick, but it's a really cool concept. And it's fun to do, so check it out.
Now, due to some of our schedule conflicts, you weren't able to give your take on the initial reaction to the Peters suspension. So where do you stand on it today?
You know, I'll be the first to admit I was rather shocked when I found out that Peters was suspended. I think it is the right move for the team to make. Andy Reid had to make some kind of statement. Peters has displayed plenty of times of being undisciplined and costing his team at bad times. And you cannot throw temper tantrums on the sideline, and you cannot get as mad as you did. Yes, I've seen other players on the Chiefs get mad. No, I've not seen it as near as consistently as I've seen it from Marcus Peters. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think that this was a move that was just because of the flag or just because of the penalty flag or just because of him walking off. I think it was a culmination of events. When it comes to Marcus Peters, over the past couple of seasons, he's done some really dumb things that have gotten him some dumb penalties. And, you know, you can't have that as a coach. And you can't have him being undisciplined on the field and not playing 100%. And he hasn't been playing 100% in multiple occasions this year. You know, we are not experts. We analyze what we see. But we are not the experts that, you know, these defensive coordinators and these coaches are. And we do not see the game film like they do. And I can only imagine how much more slacking off they see Peters doing than we could ever imagine seeing. So, to me, I completely understand the suspension. And while it may not be popular with a lot of Chiefs fans because they're trying to win the division right now, you cannot let anybody on your team run amok and basically act like they're higher than any kind of discipline that you're going to have on your team or any kind of leadership you're going to have on your team. So I understand the decision and I actually applaud it.
Well, and y'all heard my take on it yesterday in the beginning of yesterday's show for Thursday. So go back and listen to that if you missed it. You know, and because of our scheduling and my travel schedule, we recorded the preview about an hour before the news about Peters broke. So this preview for Oakland was when we were still kind of up in the air, whether they'd have him or not, or what the repercussions would be. So keep that in mind when you listen to this. Without Peters, obviously the passing game becomes more potent for the Oakland Raiders and will be something that they need to keep in mind. We'll see what the rotation becomes, and hopefully we'll have more about that for you in the preview post on LockedOnChiefs.com. Keep an eye out for that, and we'll have whatever we think is going to go on in terms of who the personnel are and how they're going to be deployed. But let's get back to it. Here is our preview for Chiefs versus Raiders. Thank you guys for listening. So this team, man, we got to talk about how this team that has been so dysfunctional over the last month and a half can get ready for a Raiders team that thought they were out of it, and now all of a sudden has the division lead in their sights. So I got to think the Raiders are going to be ready.
You would think so. And, you know, you look at this game and you're right. The Raiders have the division lead in their sights. If they win this game, Kansas City is in all reality two games back of the Raiders because they lost to the Raiders both times in the division. So, you know, the only reason that the Raiders don't have the division right now is because the Chargers are tied with the Chiefs and the Raiders. So,
yeah,
how crazy is that?
And if you would have told me that this game in Arrowhead against Oakland was going to be something that they had to have to get themselves kickstarted to get to the playoffs, I would have told you you're crazy. But, you know, we shouldn't take Oakland lightly. I know matchup-wise, it seems like it shouldn't be that big of an obstacle to overcome to beat this team. But, you know, that's what happens when they came in last time. You went to Oakland and you got beat, and that's all there is to it.
And they will be without Amari Cooper, which will help. They won't have him to push off a Terrence Mitchell. So,
oh, somebody else will push off something.
Yeah, probably.
Well, is that what you're concerned about the most? Is their offense, particularly in the passing game?
Yeah, I'm not really concerned about their defense. I honestly haven't watched enough of Oakland to know if Navarro Bowman has made a big improvement on their defense, but it still seems like they're giving up a ton of points. So, I think Kansas City will be all right in that category. I think Smith has shown that he can play, and he was able to get past the defense the Jets put against him on Sunday. And I think Oakland's going to try to do a lot of what Pittsburgh did. And I think Smith will at least show up and be able to play. You know, one thing the Raiders are always going to be susceptible to is wide receivers because they just don't have the corners to run with them right now.
Yeah, and I think it has to be a similar game plan against that secondary where they try to take it to them. But here's the thing. Go with me here. Over the last, what is it, 5 weeks, 9,
I don't want to go
57,
with you.
67, 67 again, and then 101. That's Marshawn Lynch's running totals over the last 5 weeks. He's getting stronger as this season goes on. And remember how when we talked preseason, I said, hey, he's one of the things that I'm concerned with this Raiders team. And then he kind of was just this sleepy guy who wasn't getting a whole lot done earlier in the year. Well, something woke Marshawn Lynch up. And Reggie Ragland and the rest of that run defense have to be ready for him.
Yeah, and if I was Oakland, I'd be running at Marcus Peters every single play.
You got to get out there first. There's enough guys in between here and there. That can't be your game plan. But seriously, I mean, you have Reggie Ragland that has come on, and they got to look at him and figure, oh, he's still young. He might be perceptible. But I got to think running at Frank Zombo is the answer in what Marshawn Lynch and the Raiders in particular want to try to do.
Well, and I am okay if they try to run a Frank Zombo. Frank Zombo is a pretty good run defender now. He's going against a much better left tackle than he has in the past. So we will see if he's able to do anything against Donald Penn to help stop the run because he's definitely going to be needed to do so.
Well, against Penn, he's way underpowered. And he did not play well on the edge last week, setting the edge in the run game.
No, he doesn't do it every week, but he's a much better run defender than he's a pass than he gives you pass rush. So I'm just trying to give some kind of positive because there really isn't much to give.
Well, I think especially if they're down one of their core receivers, they still have the guy, you know, hopefully he doesn't wear a chain and tempt anybody. Like, you got to hope that they can focus a little bit on the run game. On the teams in the past, albeit not as good an offense that, you know, I'm not going to compare the Giants or the Bills to the Raiders. I think the Raiders are still more explosive. But the same theory holds, though, is if you can attack the run game and contain Marshawn Lynch, I think that sets up the rest of the defense. And I think really the big question is, for me, in the passing game, what are they going to do about Cook?
Well, if you're the rest of the NFL, you're going to do like they have, and Cook's not going to do hardly anything against you, because I know I've had him on my fantasy football roster the entire season. So maybe this is a good week for me to play him because he did somewhat okay against Kansas City a couple weeks or, you know, whenever they played him last.
Well, and if we remember this was the game that Eric Murray got locked on him one-on-one. Big size mismatch. Difficult matchup for Murray. Now it appears like it's more likely because of the changes to the big nickel and having Raglan out there all the time. It appears that it's probably more likely to be Sorensen on him. And I think that was probably the best matchup to put on Cook to begin with.
Well, and it could be, but the other part of that is that Murray's probably not going to be available. So, you know, he won't be able to play regardless. So, you know, that's less of a concern that he's going to be out there on Cook with that size mismatch.
Yeah, and Sorensen has the size to contend with them, and I think that's what I wanted to see the first time around. I think that's what we're most likely to see when the Chiefs take the field against them this time. And I think as much as I'm not real keen on Sorensen in coverage in terms of particularly deep in a single high situation, shadowing a guy like Cook, especially if he's going to be in that intermediate zone kind of coverage, maybe not man-on-man, I think Sorensen's got a good shot at containing him, at least better than Murray had a chance to the first time.
Yeah, and I think Murray will get there eventually, but I would agree with you. I think that Sorensen is going to be a guy that's going to be able to run with Cook. You know, at this point, I don't think Cook is going to be a huge thing for their offense. I mean, it's possible that he will be, but again, I've watched all season long while he has pretty much been held without a catch or only having one or two catches. They just don't seem to get him involved in the offense. So I expect them to try to spread the ball around to the wide receivers a little bit more and keep feeding the ball to Lynch, because you're right, as you said, he is getting stronger as the season goes on.
Now, on the flip side, we talked about the Matt Nagy effect on Smith, at least in one game. And I should have a piece out by the time this podcast goes up. So take a look for that in the timeline in the show notes, and I'll try to link that to you. But the question is, that's just one contest. And was it the combination of the Jets not playing the greatest scheme, trying to play quarters against Ty Hill is probably not the best idea in the first place.
Raiders, please do it.
Right. Again, a mismatch in terms of speed with their corners, much like the Raiders. So was it that matchup against the Jets and Nagy and Smith being on the same page? Was it just Alex taking the deep throws when he had them more? I'm pretty solid feeling that because there were less screens called and more focus downfield, I think that's something that can be repeated, and I certainly look forward to them doing that again.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think it's going to be something that they're going to focus on, and they're going to try to get the ball down the field. You know, I'm looking at you, David Amerson, so I appreciate you covering Tyreek Hill. And Sean Smith,
good luck running with him. Yeah. Old Sean Smith, come play safety for the Chiefs next year.
He's going to be available. We already had this conversation earlier in the week. He will be available next year, so that is not out of the question.
Hey, you never know. Now, here's
I don't know
thing.
Where they put him. I mean, you say safety, but I don't know that they really have a spot for safety with Eric Berry coming back.
No, but you're looking at young guys there. I think it's worth the competition. Now, we'll have to talk about that more in the offseason, see how he actually plays down the stretch, but I always thought he might be a better matchup at safety, especially where he can use his body to good effect. But he certainly isn't doing that in Oakland in 2017. So well,
and
not gonna
he,
worry
he certainly
about
isn't going to ball hawk either, because he's not got the best hands.
There was that one on the goal line that one time.
Yeah, he's got hands almost like Philip Gaines. They're maybe a little bit better, but not much.
Now, sticking to the Chiefs offense, the more I look at this game, and I'm about halfway through the review in the All 22. I don't know that I'm going to finish it at this point in the week, but Travis Kelce, man, so explosive in that first 15-minute scripted series of plays against the Jets, and then kind of the forgotten man. And I don't see a whole lot of adjustment. Yeah, they rotate a little bit towards him, but he's just too athletic that you can't just rotate your defense over and try to bracket him. He will break brackets. He's got to do that deep cross thing. And I think he needs to be the focus of the passing game in order to kind of lull everybody to sleep so he can go over the top to Hill.
How about getting Kareem Hunt involved in the passing game, since you're not going to have him run the ball?
I was saving the best for last.
Okay, well, I just ruined your whole plan.
I know. You're welcome. Dang. Hey, thanks.
What I'm here for.
Well, here's the thing. In the last 3 weeks, they have not called run plays to the left-hand side very much at all. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I want to say it's on average 4 a game, if that. And so here's the change that, yes, it's a negative that Mitch Morse is out. But that removes Fulton from the left guard spot that he cannot play well and puts him at the center spot where I think he plays the best. And I think it all comes down to Witzman being able to run behind him, and especially in that B gap between he and Fisher. I think that's where they can make some ground. Let Khalil Mack come upfield. Get those runs off tackle in between him. And I think this is a chance that, Kareem Hunt can get going on this defense.
I would just like to see him score another touchdown. I think he's, you know, starting to be scared of the end zone at this point. I'm just joking, but it's ridiculous how long he's gone without touching the ball anywhere in the red zone or getting a touchdown.
And it's got to be more than what was a season low 21% of the play call.
Yep.
And that is just ridiculous. This kid. And I remember earlier in the season, about the midpoint, just before this slide started, I said, you know, you got to worry about his total touches and him hitting the wall. Well, that's coming on. At this point, you need all Pistons firing if you're going to make these playoffs. You got to use him now and burn him up if you have to. That's just the way it is. I think the other interesting thing, and I want your impression, because I felt like Akeem Hunt brought a little bit more. They started to use him a little bit. But not enough. And do you think this is the week where maybe he gets more touches?
I would hope so, but I wouldn't bet on it. I think they, for some reason, are not going to get him as involved as we both think that he should be. And maybe he's not showing in practice like they think he can do something. But if you bring him onto this roster, especially with Charkandrick West out, and we have no idea right now if West is even going to play. So it's possible that West is out again this week. You can't go into that game and not have your second running back touch the ball on a regular basis. And, you know, he is such a different player than Kareem Hunt. Use it to your advantage.
Well, you know who I don't want to touch the ball. And I'm pretty certain it's probably not going to happen.
Cameron Irving?
Yes. I hope they rip that page out of the playbook, because if they see anything like that again, this offense becomes a farce. And
how about Jordan Devey? Can he catch a deep pass?
I don't know. Where did he play college ball? I don't know. If it was Nebraska, no. Don't even think about it. I don't know. Yeah, just enough with the idiotic.
Oh, no. Wait a second. I know what they're going to do.
Oh, what's this?
Chris Jones is going to throw a pass to Justin Houston for a touchdown.
Okay, I don't buy that. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Well, maybe one of those things. Although I think Chris Jones could throw a pass better than Kelsey or Hill. I'm just saying.
Oh, I don't think he can throw a pass better than Kelsey. Kelsey's pass was good. It was mistimed because you don't throw that. You don't have a non-QB go out and throw that in the wind.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fair enough. I would not be shocked to see a little hungry pig out of Chris Jones eventually, too. I don't think it's going to happen this season. But, man, these trick plays, they're killing me.
Well, they're killing me too. Don't get me wrong. I'm completely facetious when I say that, but
I hate it. And I think if you can't run your base offense, and here's the thing that it boils down to me, and it goes back to Kareem Hunt, and whether you bring in Cam Irving or not, or let's see what Orson Charles has to offer. You know, let's try to get this done, because 3 snaps is what Charles played last week.
Well, what gets me on this more than anything else isn't necessarily the trick plays. I don't like them necessarily, but it's when they're called. They're killing themselves when they call those plays just because of the time frame that they're calling them. You know, you're getting ready to go and score a touchdown. You have Hill throw a pass. No. You get 2 great runs by Hunt, and then you have Kelsey throw a deep pass. Why?
And that's my point exactly. Whether it's Irving or you bring in Charles or do something – your third down and half a yard, go get that half yard. Cram it down their throats. I don't care what you got to do. If there's no wide out on the field, I don't care.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you completely. Now, let's get down to brass tacks. Who do you have winning on this game?
You know, I've been pretty consistent waiting on the Chiefs' potential to show back up. So I'm going to break the trend. I have them losing 21-20 at home.
I'm with you. I think they lose. I think it's going to be 28-17.
Well, folks, let's hope that we're all wrong. Hit us with your predictions and what you think is going to happen. And we appreciate you listening. Make sure you check out draft.com and enjoy the game. We'll have a post-game reaction for you Sunday night. Thanks for listening today, and we will talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.